Acts chapter 26, verse number 12, the Bible says this: on one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." In other words, when you translate that, what that's actually saying, it's hard for you to kick against the purpose for your life. Verse number 15 says, "Then I asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting,' the Lord replied. 'Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant, as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me.'" Verse number 17, "I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles, and I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness and light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." Say that with me. "I was not to the heavenly vision." Let's pray one more time. Father, I need you. God, I ask that you would speak through me. As we refocus not only our personal lives, I ask, God, that you would refocus the direction and the vision of our church. I'm asking you, God, to strengthen. I pray that you would calm my spirit and allow me to minister this word exactly how you gave it to me. I pray that you would stir up our passion and remind us, God, that we are still called to reach the inner city of the world. Father, we love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. When you look at the scripture that we opened up with, it's a very interesting time within the Bible. Here you have the Apostle Paul, who is going from city to city, and he was preaching the gospel. Now, what had happened was, as he preached the gospel, he was preaching a message that offended the leaders of that day. So here we have the Apostle Paul. He is on trial before this king for preaching about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, Paul's message was offensive to the Jews and to the unbelieving Gentiles of that time. So as Paul preached this message of Christ, people were enraged, and eventually he was imprisoned and he was taken before this king. Now in Acts chapter 26, at the very beginning of the chapter, King Agrippa tells him, "You may speak on behalf of your defense." And the Apostle Paul looks at this king and he begins to testify about what he's been through. He tells them about the story of when he was riding to Damascus and then he seen a light. All of him and his companions fell. And he tells them about how God spoke to him, how God revealed himself to him, and how God gave him a vision and mission to reach the Gentiles of that day. So here he is on trial. People are upset with what he's preaching. How many know that not everyone is going to agree or like what we have to preach? Right? We're living in the day and age where you got to be careful what you post, because you just might offend somebody. Right? But how many know that if we're going to fulfill the will of God, we're going to have to stick to the foundation of God's word, and we're going to have to preach truth in spite of whose toes we step on? Are you hearing me this morning? We have to be careful that in the day that we live in, that we don't water down our standards for the sake of wanting to do what we want, but we got to make sure that we are people that live according to the Bible. Are you hearing me this morning? So here you have Paul. He's on trial. He's before this king, and he looks at the king at the end of telling him his mission. He said, "King Agrippa, I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision." In other words, you may be offended at what I'm speaking, but I have to tell you that I answer to one man and one man only, and I have been obedient to the very thing that he has asked me to do. Are you hearing me this morning? See, God had given him a vision to reach the Gentiles, who were the outcasts of their day. These were people that were segregated, who people didn't like, but God gave them a mission to reach the Gentiles. Now, I believe that we're living in a day where God still speaks to man and God still gives us visions that are in alignment with his, with the word. What is vision? Well, vision is a mental picture of what could be, driven by the conviction of what should be. See, God had given the Apostle Paul a heavenly vision, and the Apostle Paul dedicated his life to fulfilling that vision. I believe that God still speaks today. I believe that God wants to give you vision for your life, that God wants to give you a blueprint to follow so that you could be. How many would like to be successful in life all the time? How many would like to walk in fulfillment? This world is full of people wandering aimlessly. This world is full with people walking on spiritual treadmills, coming to church every Sunday, coming to church every Monday, but really not getting anywhere. This is a plague, listen to me, that has grasped onto the church. But you and I, listen, we need to seek God's plan, not only for our life, but for our family. And once we find that, listen, we can contribute to the church and we can advance his kingdom. Are you hearing me this morning? Vision is a powerful thing. When someone has vision for their life, they are focused and they have something to live for. They have a target that they're aiming for. Listen, if you don't have a target, you will hit the target every time. Vision is a powerful thing. When people lack vision, listen to me. When people lack vision, the Bible tells us where there is no vision, people perish. Some translations say they cast off restraints. In other words, they will do what feels good and they will do what they desire because they have no direction in life. I am convinced that the cause of depression in the day that we live in, you know that if you look at the statistics, the number one leading drug that's being used across the world is antidepressants. People suffer from, you know, depression has now become a condition. It's a condition now, right? I believe that the reason why people are in bondage is not because they're sad or something's plagued them. But listen, dissatisfaction and discouragement are not caused by the absence of things, but the absence of vision. I believe that many people are struggling in discouragement because they have no direction in life. Are you hearing me this morning? God didn't intend for you to live visionless. He didn't intend for you to be aimless. God has a specific plan and purpose for your life. If you know me, I'm going to be preaching that message till the day that I die. I believe I was called to let people know that there is a plan and purpose for their life. Listen, don't believe the lies. Don't believe in that you're not worth anything. Don't believe. I know what that's like to feel that I'm not worth anything, that I'm insignificant, and that I don't have anything to offer. I know what that's like. And there are many people that they battle that. But listen, we need to tell people that they matter. They need to tell people that Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth. He died on the cross for their sins. Are you hearing me? People that don't know the truth will buy into a lie. But we have the truth in our heart. Are you hearing me this morning? God did not intend for us to wander in circles. And I believe that, you know, as I pray for the church, there are some of you, you're here and you're sensing this passion arise from the inside of you. And some of you, the Lord was showing me, you're starting to dream of what could be. I came here to tell you that those dreams that you're having now are not fictional. They're not a figment of your imagination. God has placed desire in you. God has placed abilities in you. And if you commit your plans to the Lord, God will bless them. What you have to understand about the calling of God is this, that when God calls a man, he will often give him a vision of a preferable future. Well, what is vision? It's a mental picture of what could be. Now, what's the difference between a vision and a dream? A dream is something you think about that doesn't really ever happen. A vision is something you think about that's driven by action and will propel you forward. Are you hearing me this morning? Now, biblically, what are we supposed to do when we get a vision from God? Well, Habakkuk 2, 1 through 3 says this, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. We're following the Bible. I prayed hard. I fasted. I toiled. And I asked God, God, give me a vision. And I remember very clearly as I was praying, I was at the conference, and God spoke to me very clearly, reach the unchurched, help people develop a closer relationship with God, and spread the gospel. We are doing biblically what God has told us to do. God has given us a vision. We're writing it. We're making it plain. We pray that you memorize, read, help, spread. So when you tell people, what is your church about? Say it with me. We reach, help, and we spread. Well, what do you reach? We reach the unchurched. Well, what do you help? We help people develop a closer relationship with God. Well, what do you spread? We spread the gospel. Are you hearing me this morning? Now, why do I tell you this? Because as I look at what God's doing, I really believe that God's still working. I believe that God's setting things up. But I believe that some of you, you're starting to have visions of what could be and how you can enhance the church. Listen, in order for us to fulfill the will of God, your vision is going to matter. But you can't just dream aimlessly. You got to write it down. Some of you right now have a vision to build a ministry within the church. Listen, go before the Lord and write it down. Are you hearing me this morning? See, every great organization has a clear vision. Every great church has a clear vision. And this is our vision. We want to reach the unchurched because the unchurched represents all walks of life. We want to help people develop a closer relationship with God through worship and through discipleship. We want to spread the gospel by knowing the gospel and through the act of evangelism. That's who we are and that's what we do. God has also given us an international vision. Listen, we cannot lose sight of what we are called to do. Are you hearing me this morning? When you look at our mission, when you look at what we are supposed to do, our vision is simply broken up into five different steps. Number one, we are an international church-oriented Christian ministry. And I feel like we need to talk about this a little bit more because it's in my heart. I don't want to have a local church. I want to have some of you that think globally, that say, I want to go to another country. My prayer that this would be a church that we're able to help send you somewhere. I told you, brother ever told me, I'll run the home for you. I'll lay my life down for you on one condition, that when I finally build the home and God speaks to me, you release me to go somewhere in the part of the world. Right? There are some of you, you've stopped dreaming of what could be, but I think it's time, like I'm encouraged. We have five of the women, they're going to be going to Europe and they're going to be going for 10 days. Right? Some of the ladies that are going have never been out of their neighborhood. Are you hearing me? But why is this important to understand? Because when we say we're an international ministry, listen to me, it's founded on the Great Commission. We have a concept of world evangelism. Listen, we're believing God to impact the world for the honor and glory of God. And I won't lie, there was an area of me that kind of stopped dreaming. Me and my wife, we started dreaming, and I was telling her, babe, I want to go to Africa. I want to go to the Philippines. I want to go to Indonesia. Listen, me and Brother Eric were talking the other day. We were talking about, man, let's go to Africa within this next year. Come on, somebody. Our wives are going to Europe. I'm throwing it out there. If you want to jump on the train, pray with me, amen. But why couldn't we do that? Why couldn't we as a group of people dream and go across the world and experience what life has to offer? Are you hearing me? I'm not saying adapting to their lifestyle, but we can't lose sight of the fact that we have a global calling to reach people everywhere we go. You know, my heart was blessed because what people do spontaneously, listen to me, will tell you the true nature of their character. Are you hearing me? If you accidentally slip out a cuss word, come on, somebody, and I've never heard you cuss, chances are you cuss. Come on, somebody. Come on, look at me like that. Right? If you naturally do something. But we were in San Francisco the other day, and we were walking, and I was with Brother Ever, and I was walking. I ain't gonna lie, I was trying to get somewhere. And I look back and I'm like, where did he go? Watch this. Where did he? And I look back and there he was on his knees. God has a plan for you. You don't have to be out here. He said, can I pray for you? It doesn't matter if it's in our city. My prayer is that you would develop the heart that no matter where you go, that when you see the need, you meet the need. It's not about building our church. It's about building the kingdom. It's not about building a church here in Tacoma. It's about reaching people. Listen, you know what God's been putting in my heart? And I'm going to ask you to pray with me. This is what I believe, that before we send out a church, we're going to plant another home. I want to plant a home in Olympia. Do you imagine if we had a home in Olympia? And what if we started with the home and we built that home? And eventually they said, Pastor, we have 40 people. We need a pastor to come. And then God raises one of you up that have had a burning passion to reach people, that you've been training, you've been praying, you've been believing, you've been fighting. And then God says, it's time. Are you hearing me? There are cities in our neighborhood, but then we can never lose sight of the fact that we are a global ministry and that we have to have our eyes out there. Secondly, listen to me. We are called to the task of evangelizing and discipling the hurting people of the world with the message, hope, and plan of Jesus Christ. We don't have our own developed plan. Our plan is Jesus. Our plan is hope. Our plan is the gospel. We don't always have the details, but we have the Holy Spirit, and we understand hope. We understand truth. And I may not always have the answers if you come to me with some problems, but I know where to direct you. Let me pray with you. Let me teach you to stand. Let me teach you the Bible so that when you go through it again, you know how to make it out. Are you hearing me this morning? We are called to evangelize and disciple. And listen, church, we have to be very careful that we don't lose discipleship. Listen, discipleship wasn't an option. That was God's plan to impact the entire world. There was no plan B. He invested his life in 12 men, and the book of Acts chapter 14 tells us these men turned the world upside down. See, the Great Commission is broken up into two parts. The first part is evangelizing. This speaks of telling others about the gospel. Romans 10:13 says, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But who can they call on whom to save unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him who they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? Listen, we were sent to Tacoma to preach the gospel, to believe people, to believe in people, and to believe that God can restore a life. Would you believe with me? Are you hearing me? I look around the room. And if I just started talking about some of your stories, we'd all break out in crying. Some of you are miracles. Don't ever lose sight of the fact of what God's done in your life. But the Great Commission is broken up into two parts. The first part is reaching people. And where I think that sometimes we fail as a church is we reach people, but then we leave them in a spiritual incubator to fend for their lives all on their own. But that's not what God intended. See, we're supposed to reach people, and then we're supposed to disciple them. But what is discipleship? It's simply embracing and accepting and living out God's teachings. When you look at what God said, he said to go into all the world and make disciples. He didn't give a lot of detail. What did he say? Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit. He said, teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. A disciple is someone who studies the Word of God and attempts to live out the Bible to the best of their ability. We are called to disciple people. We are called to teach people. Listen, I would not be the father that I am today had a man in the church not taught me to be a father. I wouldn't be a good husband if someone in the church didn't grab me. When I came in, I was 19. I was reckless. I was rude. I didn't have respect for anybody. But thank God there were godly men in the church that didn't see my recklessness, that didn't judge me for my rudeness, but they said, this young man has fight in him. If I can just teach him how to live for God, he can do something great for God. Listen, we need to develop that attitude and that heart where we fight for people to make it in life. Are you hearing me? That's what discipleship is. We can't get it twisted. We're not here to build a sanctuary. We're not here to build a big church. We're here to help spread the gospel and believe God to transform lives. It's not good enough to just tell somebody about the Word of God. It's not good enough to just give somebody hope. We have to give them a blueprint on life. Are you hearing me? The third thing that we are called to do, and I pray that this gives some of you clarity, because there's some you've been coming and you don't know what we stand for. You don't know what we're trying to accomplish. That's the goal of this message, is to give you clarity. I believe we need to refocus. I believe we need to refocus and we need to aim at a target. Thirdly, we are committed to plant and develop churches, rehab homes, and training centers in strategic cities of the world. Why are we so committed to developing churches? Well, look at Romans 15:20. Look at what the Apostle Paul says. My ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard, rather than where a church has already been started by someone else. We as a ministry believe, listen, I want to plant churches. Let this fall where it may, but those of you that are here, that you have a passion, don't think you're insignificant. I believe, listen, I was blessed because yesterday we went to the discipleship, and Pastor Johnny said, if you feel called, if you have a city on your heart, run up here. And I was great. I looked up and I seen four of our guys run up there, right? And then he called up Brother Dan, right? Brother Dan, who's like, oh man, he called me. And he goes up there and he goes, where do you want to go? He said, God's put Spanaway in my heart. He's all, well, what's in Spanaway? He's all, I want to bring all the white tweakers to Jesus. Come on, somebody. Huh? Then I was sitting there, and he's not here today. He had to take care of something with his family. There was another guy up there. He said, if you feel called, a guy ran up there, and he took the mic from Pastor John. And I was like, whoa. He said, where do you feel called to? I'm already there. I feel called to Tacoma. I feel called to tell people about Jesus. I feel called to give people hope. God pulled me out, and I want to give hope to somebody else. And then he like, the mic and ran off stage. Come on, somebody. Right? Brother Red is a blessing. He came. You know how he came to the church? Through the Active Faith Flag football. He showed up and he just came to play football, and he looked and he said, you guys are Christians? We're like, yeah, we're Christians. He goes, oh man. He looked at Dan and he was like, is that Dan? I'm talking about Dan again. Dan, is that you? And then they looked at each other and they hugged, and I was like, what's going on here? He's all, I was in the penitentiary with him. You're saved now? Listen, we can never lose sight of the fact of the people that God has transformed. We have to keep a heartbeat to reach the lost. We gotta look for people in when we go to the grocery store, when we fill up at the gas station, when we're at school, when we're at our job. Listen, let's not get annoyed with everyone at our workplace. Let's look for the hurting. If someone shows up and they're a little bit quiet, we say, that's a little off. Let's pray in our spirit and say, God, help me minister to them, and let's give them hope. We're committed to planting churches. Listen, the other thing that we're committed to, and I'm looking at this again, and I already told, we're committed to planting rehab homes. Now, I've told you this story before. Someone once asked me, they were kind of like, well, why do you guys focus on having a rehabilitation home? Right? And they kind of said it like weird. And I was like, bro, you're weirding me out. What do you mean? And he said, well, why? And this is what I told him. Every day, nearly 175 Americans die from drug overdose. People that, listen to this, 7 people will die from drug addiction every hour. Drug overdose killed roughly 65,000 people in the United States last year alone, according to the first government account of national drug deaths. That's 7 people per hour. Overdosing is now the leading cause of accidental death in the United States. And you ask me why we have a rehab home? You ask me why we want to plant a women's home? And you ask me why we want a home in Olympia? Because people are dying. Like today we have about 9 guys in the home, but I remember, right? Brother Nakia, you were there with me. We caught them. We went over there. They stole the van. And I was like, man, what are we going to do? I remember I walked in with Nakia. I was like, where is everybody? And I remember he sat there and he said, I'm going to search their drawers. We went in there. He searched the drawers. We found pipes in our rehab home, right? We found dream catchers. We found, like, they have a whole pantry of food. And one guy had a bunch of beef stew stags hidden in his drawer. I said, now why in the... I'm already mad that they stole the van. I'm already mad that they weren't in the house and that I found a crack pipe. But to add to this, I was like, why in the world do you have steak chili in your drawer when the pantry is full downstairs? Man, because I'm from the penitentiary, man, we don't know when we're going to get it again. So I hid it in my drawer. Sounds funny. You know what we did? I was so angry. I kicked everyone out of the home. I said, you guys got to leave. You either got to go to Seattle, but you're not staying here, or you leave. We're not doing this anymore. And I remember that I crossed this bridge. And I remember we left. I was angry, right? And I remember thinking, he's like, what are you going to do? I said, we're closing the home. And I went and I prayed that weekend. I had already sent everybody away. Rent was coming due. And I ain't gonna lie, I was thinking, man, it costs about $3,000 to run that home. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, well, we don't have to pay the home no more. And as I was praying, the Lord spoke to me, don't close the home. And I was like, well, Lord, the rent is coming due. What in the world? I gotta pay nobody. You know what we did? For 4 months, we paid the rent and nobody was living there. The church hardly had any money. We're committed to keeping the homes open. And I thank God we didn't close the home. Because when I look at the men that are in the home right now, we just had Brother Joseph graduate. When I look at the men that are coming up and I see their families and I see them being restored, we can never lose sight of the fact of what God has called us to do. And you got to pray with me because we're going to open a women's home soon. Quickly, I'm going to close. We inspire people, listen to me, to fulfill their potential of life with a sense of dignity, belonging, and destiny. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Ecclesiastes 6:10 says this, everything has already been decided. It was known long ago what each person would be, so there's no use arguing with God about your destiny. See, there are some of you, you're here this morning and you're fighting with God. You're unhappy, you're miserable in life, but you know God has called you. Are you hearing me? It's time to stop fighting. It's time to be obedient. It's time to do the work of the Lord. I believe in telling people, listen, church, we need to develop a welcoming attitude. My prayer that our church, when you walk in, it would have like a Southern hospitality feel, right? Where people are giving you hugs, they make you kind of feel uncomfortable. Why are you hugging me, bro? Right? People are smiling. Because real bondages need real joy. I pray that you would adopt the mindset that when you see somebody doing something good, you would tell them, hey, I noticed God doing something good in your life. Keep at it, man. You're inspiring me. And lastly, we work cooperatively with others of mutual purpose in accomplishing the task before us. Listen, this car show we're doing, we're partnering with someone else. We're not putting it on all on our own. We're partnering with other churches. Why? Because I'm not here to build a kingdom. I'm not here to build my own little church. I want to build the kingdom. Whether they stay with me or not, my heart is to help people get closer to God and believe for them to do the impossible and to advance the kingdom. We have a mission to reach every inner city of the world. Now, I don't know where you're at in your life, but I do want to tell you this. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for your family. Listen, God has a plan for your children. Proverbs 28:19 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. See, the future belongs to those who see possibilities before they are obvious. I think it's time to, for some of us, listen, we have to starve our distractions and feed our focus. See, some were stagnant right now in life because we're giving in to all our distractions. It's time to starve the distractions and feed our focus. This morning, I don't know where you're at in your life. But I want you to know that God has a plan for you. And we want to reach the world. This morning, as we all stand,